सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Johnny Tai. So, good morning to everybody. Okay, so now we're on Bhakti Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarna 3. Bhakti alone is the conclusion of all the scriptures. So page 91. I think we're on the vritti on the top of the page, no? Yes, kind of, maybe.
We got through part of that, but I don't know exactly where we left off, so we can start there.
With the vritti. Okay, vritti. Next, the process of yogic meditation is described. Lord Krishna instructed Uddhava to fix his mind on the Supreme Lord and see him in every living entity's heart. However, Uddhava rejects this process of meditation, expresses his desire to perform pure bhakti, following the footsteps of the gopis. Right? Because remember before we were talking about that you have that aspect of detach, you know, how you say action with detachment. And then you have, you know, it means naishkarmya. Then you're going to have knowledge. Then you're going to have meditation. Right? Then you're going to come up like this to bhakti. So Uddhava is pointing out is he doesn't want to just work on this lower level. Like for us, all these are higher levels like that. But here it means that you're doing as a sadhana meditation. But what's happening with these devotees is that this pure bhakti is happening because the meditation happens spontaneous naturally. They're naturally absorbed in the Lord. Anucheta 66. In discussing with Uddhava, Krishna says, now you should completely give up all attachment to your personal friends and relatives and fix your mind on me, being always conscious of me, observing all things with equal vision, and then wander throughout the earth. Right? So your personal friends. So it's another thing as if they're friends because they're connected to Krishna. They're serving Krishna. And so in this way, then there's that camaraderie of service to Krishna. And that way, then one is friends because one is naturally friends with all living entities. But he's saying attachment to your personal friends means who you've kind of seen in that personal way connected with your, you know, particular activities and services and these kind of activities. So it means Uddhava is beyond. So naturally, whoever is his friends are all transcendental. They're members of the Yadu dynasty in that. But it's like Arjuna, it's being pointed out that you have to go beyond what you see is that, you know, I mean, you know, like we will have friends that will be, yes, their nature is similar to mine. And so therefore I can relate to them. I'm comfortable with them. I can be myself when I'm with them. But the actual self is the soul, the servant of Krishna. So in that way, when you're with the devotees that they're serving, you're serving, and that way you're inspired in their association. That then becomes the actual real nature, the real us, right? So that makes them the real friends. Does that make sense? Otherwise, when we have friends, it's based on service, but that's just if it's like we like to be with them because they inspire us in devotional service, then that's not the friends you need to give up. But then if it's we like, because it makes us feel comfortable on the material platform, that's the concept we have to give up. It doesn't mean that association is given up. It means that that concept that these are the real friends or these are the ones that make me comfortable. Because ultimately, no, it doesn't. You can, in the beginning, you see that, yes, because of material attachment, I have, therefore, these ideas of this material comfort. So then when I'm in this situation, I'm not uncomfortable. And so then it's favorable for devotional service as long as it's seen for what it is and that you're trying to be Krishna conscious. So therefore, because you're not emotionally disturbed or, you know, like this, therefore then you are more comfortable to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. So in that way, then it helps. But at some point, it has to be given up. No, these aren't the real friends. The real friends is Krishna consciousness. So that they've helped you in Krishna consciousness, that's been good. But we have to understand it's the Krishna consciousness that's of value. You're just like with money, you do so many nice things. But it's actually the service for Krishna that's important, not the money. Does this make sense? No? Yes? Maybe? Kind of, you know, so in other words, we're getting into the fine lines between what actually is the, because when you put it together, yes, it has, it doesn't have to in the transcendental world, you know, in the eternal pastimes, you don't have to make this kind of distinction because they're only going to be absorbed in Krishna and all of their associates and the, you know, are going to be absorbed in Krishna. And so you don't have to make that distinction, like between Mother Jashoda, that she's cooking for Krishna and her stai bhava of the parental rasa. You don't have to they're not distinct. You don't have to separate them. So in other words, the situation, the activities in that situation, the goal of that situation, the experience of that situation, you don't have to separate them. You know, just like Sandini, Samvit, and Vladini, you don't need to separate that on the transcendental platform. We do it simply because we're being conditioned until we separate that. We don't see the difference between Samvit, Sandini, Vladini, and goodness, passion, and ignorance. You know, so we don't see and we don't see what aspects are there. We, by mistake, because we're leaving Krishna out of the equation, so therefore also already the Icha Shakti has been removed. That means in our consciousness. So all you left is Kriya and Jnana. So then we're busy trying to get knowledge and situations and then perform actions to get results because it's about our Icha. So generally speaking, we only look at Kriya and Jnana. We don't look at Icha because if we do, then it becomes self-centered and it looks bad. So therefore, you know, we talk about these other things that makes it look better. Does that make sense? So then with Krishna as the center, that it's his desire that makes everything work. It's his desire that is why everything expands and why the Kriya and the Jnana Shaktis perform their services is because of Krishna's desire. So in other words, Krishna's desire is first. So we take it as our desire. Then we look at the situation, do the activity, we get our result, and then it's for us. So we're starting in that way, but we have to start from Krishna. Krishna's desire, therefore action in Krishna consciousness, or in this case, Abhideya, must be performed. That requires that we have to have proper knowledge of the situation and the mechanics of what's going on. And then we use that for Krishna. But on the spiritual platform, when one actually is coming to that platform on the liberated platform, I mean, on the platform of prema, you don't have to make these distinctions because it's all working harmoniously together. But here, the energies work harmoniously together because they're all Krishna's energies. It's us who may not see them in that light. So therefore, then we get involved in understanding through knowledge, right? Because that's why it comes up, is that you perform the detached service. Then from that, you get knowledge. Because if the service is detached, I'm attached, but I know that it's best to not be attached. So I'm working in that consciousness, even though I may not be on that platform. But with time, then that brings about that understanding, that jnana, that realization that, yes, no, I'm the soul, I'm not the body. But then you're able to move the focus of our absorption from the material into the spiritual. So then the meditation comes, right? So he's talking about give up all attachment and fix your mind like this. So then it comes up, observe all beings with equal vision. So he's talking about those first stages there. And then Uddhava, then he then is going to make his point. Is this a little bit more clear now, or?
I'm not clear, Maharaj. Is our friendship and Krishna consciousness, is that a real thing, or is just should we really like invest into it, or it's something not as important?
That means the point is, since we're doing friendship and Krishna consciousness is very important, but one has to understand is what's the important aspect of that friendship and Krishna consciousness. It's the Krishna conscious element. So if in that friendship, we get off into all our kinds of other nonsense and it doesn't bring about Krishna consciousness, that aspect of the friendship is not important. So in other words, the mechanics of friendship are going to remain the same. Right? The dati prati grihati guhya makiti pichati bhunkte bojayate. Those are going to stay the same. It's just if they're centered around Krishna or not. And so naturally, as we're as sadhakas advancing in Krishna consciousness, then that aspect of friendship then may also be mixed, just like our devotional service is mixed. But so the idea to see pure devotional service, and we take that aspect of knowledge from every angle. So we're going to look at everything that we're doing, because it's not only the friendship, it's going to be family, it's going to be money, it's going to be possessions, it's going to be our identity, our position in society, our status. So all this can be nicely used in Krishna's service as long as we're identifying as the servant of Krishna, that we're the soul, not the body. But to that degree that bodily consciousness is there, to that degree it's going to, you know, create some difficulty that will have to go at some point. It doesn't mean the friendship goes. It means that consciousness, that lower consciousness has to go. Because it's only in the association of devotees that we make advancement. So the association of devotees is very, very important, but you have to distinguish between the two. So one aspect, you may be hanging out with friends because of the conditional level. But another is you may be hanging out with friends because of the devotional level, that they have the same devotional viewpoint. Does that make sense? And then if also beside, then if along with them, you can sit down and eat, you can discuss, you can reveal your mind, you know, like this, then it becomes, you know, you feel like inspired to give them things and receive from them, then it makes it even more. But you might find that someone's, you know, on the philosophical, you can talk with them all day, but you may not want to sit with them and eat because they have some, you know, very unique view on eating. Does that make sense? So it might not be from the conditioned side very comfortable, or it might even be is that they're very good in philosophy, but when it comes to the philosophy with prasad, so it's just a matter of discerning these different aspects. Is that any better?
Yes, thank you, Maharaj. I was thinking also that, you know, following Srila Prabhupada, we don't see in his life, we don't see him being, you know, overly friendly with his god brothers. And nowadays, we don't see many, you know, Prabhupada disciples being friends. I mean, everybody has their own, you know, kind of scene. But it's not that, you know, I can't say because I don't know, but it seems like there are not many friendly people, everybody on its own. So it's kind of strange.
Yeah, no, it is, because it's not, it means, I don't mean, I can't say, you know, now, but I mean, you remember before, like in Hungary, you'd have those big festivals and there'd be so many god brothers there. And devotees are very inspired by how all those god brothers are very friendly and interacting with each other and, you know, sit together and eat and you know, do the, you know, kirtan and sadhana, and make jokes and everything together. And so that was very inspiring because, like you said, others don't necessarily have that kind of friendship. So, but that depends upon that you value that. Because I've seen in some places, I mentioned once, is that, you know, I could come at this time and this and that. Oh, no, but this other devotee's there. And then I said, you know, well, that's fine. I'm, you know, we're friends and all that. And he says, no, no, you know, because we want to get value for our money. Right. So since we're paid for tickets and this and that, and going to have to make all these arrangements, if there's two people there, and during that time, that means like one gives class in the morning, one gives in the evening, or maybe there's some things during the day, but you're only getting half as much in their mind, you know, quote unquote, value from that devotee. Well, if he was here on his own, I'd get two classes a day. So then the difficulty comes up is, yes, as far as getting more out of the person, but as far as seeing Vaishnava culture and how they interact and that kind of aspect, because they both might be coming to class, they both might make comments in class. Like I remember in Chopati, they had this very unique asana for class that it's a row of all together, a row of seats. And then one at the end is kind of at a 45 degree angle. So he addresses the class. So if you're giving class, you sit in that angled seat. And then if there's other senior Vaishnavas, I sit in the other seat. So you'll say something and then they might, you know, make comments afterwards. And, you know, there'll be this nice interaction and it creates that kind of mood. So you see is that those that appreciate that create that kind of mood. And those that look at it, you know, quote unquote, value for money, they don't. So because most will be looking at it from that second angle, you know, that second perspective, that's why you don't see many people together because they're never invited together. Sometimes you see it. That's why you have the Kirtan Mela. Why it's nice is because you may have more people together. Otherwise, Kirtan it's nice. You're doing more Kirtan. But what's more wonderful is the association of the devotees. One person's leading the kirtan, but the others are there. They stay. Someone else comes and he just moves back and the other one sits and then he sits in the back or he plays mridanga or he does this or that. So you see that association. That's what's important. So these festivals, then one, it brings about more opportunity for being Krishna conscious, but then you see that Vaishnava seva. You see that aspect of that association of devotees. And that would be not seeing that, then that's where it goes down. You know, Nama Ruchi, then, you know, it's not necessarily spoken about much. Vaishnav Seva is not some, you know, core, more hardcore talk about, you know, what do you call it? Jiva Doya. But otherwise, then nowadays, you know, people are so absorbed in management and political correctness that, you know, there's not necessarily a strong discussion on the actual practice of devotional service. Because as it points out, is that the meaning of every verse is to serve Krishna. So therefore, bhakti is the actual abhideya. You know, one says, okay, my action, you know, I have the knowledge, then I act in that capacity, then I get a result. But actual abhideya, it only actually becomes abhideya if it's devotional service. So there's no such thing as a scheme of success if it doesn't include that service. If it doesn't include service to Krishna, it's not actually abhideya. Does that make sense? You know, I mean, it's the reflection, it's the mechanics of bhakti, but it's not actually what it's for.
Yes, thank you, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Maharaj?
Yes.
May I also ask you? Guru Maharaj, for me, I think because of feminine mind, it's difficult to distinguish why do I attach to my friends because of Krishna consciousness or because of similar conditional nature. And previously you said that women firstly develop attachment to Krishna and then disattached from material world. And for men, it's other process. And I think, should we also be disattached, develop this disattachment from our friends? Or it's okay if they devote us and we attach it to
them? Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. The point is to become attached to Krishna. That's what you're focusing on. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to become attached to Krishna. So by associating with these friends, it helps you in your Krishna consciousness, then it's good. So you don't worry about that. Mm-hmm. It's just that with time, you can start to see is that it is about Krishna consciousness. So you just try to see that, you know, that with your friends, you're engaged in Krishna consciousness. So as long as that's there, then it's nice. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to separate it.
I mean, Guru Maharaj, that of course we have friends because they are devotees of Krishna and we have same service and similar attitude and service, but also it's important point that we have same conditional nature and we have same anarthas, and when once anartha becomes increased, another friend can help too, because another friend can understand what happened with.
Yes, but then you're using it in Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
The point is using it in Krishna consciousness. And it's not same. It'll never be same. It'll be compatible. Just like, which is, I have two spoons. Or I have a spoon and a bowl. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So which pairing is better?
Means for different processes.
I mean, unless you're in a band and you're playing Dixie or something, and those two spoons, then you can play them for rhythm. But then those two go together. But otherwise, then you have to see. You know, so the spoon and the bowl are compatible.
Mm-hmm.
They can do something together. Two spoons don't, but you keep the spoons. When you put them in the drawer, you put them all spoons together, all forks together, all knives, all this, all that. So the point is it's compatible nature, not same nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, it's within the same category, but you see that it's compatible within that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Guru Maharaj. Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Yeah. So that's the point, is that you're compatible in Krishna consciousness. And then different friends may be compatible in different ways. Some it's more for that closer association. Some it's more for when you have programs. So it's more. Some will be more for when you're doing, some devotional act, you know, like sadhana and stuff like that. So like that, then you see that how that goes with the friends.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
Yes, thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Okay, continue with Jiva Goswami. Using Uddhava, whom Krishna accepted as being as good as himself, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.4.31, through him, Krishna gives instructions to others in this verse, right? Just like Arjuna. Means he's giving instructions to others. For Uddhava, it's not necessary. But because he considers him like himself, therefore, through himself, he through his devotee, therefore, he teaches, right? The order should be interpreted to mean, quote, the devotee following your path should wander the earth. The devotee should have equal vision, seeing nothing except the Lord. Thus, he does not see good and bad at all. The word too indicates rejection of everything material, right? So here, there's no good and bad. It's just, is it useful in devotional service or not? If it's not, it's rejected. If it is, it's there. It's not about, oh, this is bad and you focus on that. It's about, this is useful in devotional service. This is not. So what's not is avoided, and what is dealt with. And then you glorify that and absorb yourself in that. If someone needs, you can explain why the other is rejected. But it's bad is not because on the material world, they say it's good and bad. Its weakness is that it doesn't have a value in Krishna consciousness. So that's why even in what's given in scripture under the aspects of religion and piety, if it's useful in Krishna consciousness, you use it. If it's not, you don't. So that's why then Daiva Varnashram means you're using Varnashram and how it is favorable to Krishna consciousness, and you're rejecting what's not. So the form of Krishna consciousness that's described by the acharyas, that is shown, you know, by the pastimes of the Lord with the great devotees in Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then how Prabhupada explains in his purports and the acharyas in their purport, this is already Daiva Varnashram. We just have to appreciate it and apply it. It's not something separate. Does that make sense? So it's based on, it's useful in serving Krishna. That's why it's done. That's what its importance is. Yes? No? Okay. This was indicated previously in some Bhagavatam verses. Quote, simply by decorating ourselves with the garlands, fragrant oils, clothes, and ornaments that you have already enjoyed, by eating the remnants of your meals, we, your servants, will indeed conquer your illusory energy. Right? So he's just saying by taking prasad of the Lord, we'll conquer over the material energy. Naked sages who seriously endeavor in spiritual practice, who have raised their semen upwards, who are peaceful and sinless members of the renounced order, attain the spiritual abode called Brahman. Oh, great. It means, in other words, they come to that spiritual platform of Brahman, understanding they're the soul, not the body. Oh, great yogi, we, on the other hand, though wandering in this world on the path of karma, will overcome insurmountable ignorance along with your devotees by talking about you while remembering and glorifying your deeds, words, movements, smiling glances, and amorous joking, which appear to be human. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:646-49. But so he's pointing out, we, on the other hand, means these great naked sages, they're going through, means they have nothing. You know, they're udvaretas, so they're perfect celibates. And they're peaceful, so they don't get involved in anything material. They're sinless, they do nothing wrong, they only do their duties. Like that, they come to the platform of Brahman. But says we, on the other hand, we're wandering the world, we're performing karma, meaning action. And so, but we're doing this all in the we're talking about you, remembering you, glorifying you, their words, movements, smiling, everything about the Lord, they're remembering everything about what they're doing is connected to the Lord. So he's saying this is the superior path because the other one is very, very slow. And this is, they've gone to all that trouble and they've only gotten to the Brahman platform. And so beyond the Brahman platform is the platform of Paramatma. Beyond that is the platform of Bhagavan. So he's saying we just deal directly with the platform of Bhagavan by the association of the great personalities, the great devotees. And therefore, then we will come to that transcend. Then we come to the ultimate transcendental position. Yes? Okay. Udriti, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Your great devotees do not seek to cross over Maya as a result of their bhakti, but we are not like those great devotees. How can we be so confident? Out of humility, Uddhava shows that he also desires to cross over Maya. Two indicates a different subject. Though we are servants in Dasya Rasa, taking assistance of Sakya Rasa, we do not desire to practice jnana, even though you order us, right? So Uddhava speaking. We will cross Maya with your devotees who have similar nature to us, right? So this is where the friendship, the similar nature. So the more it's on the similar nature being the Krishna consciousness and the activities and what they like to do for Krishna, then that's going to be, you know, ultimately the strongest. But otherwise, just, you know, you're comfortable being with them. So you'll have a wide range of friends. You know, some that's just, you can just sit around with them, and other ones that, you know, you do Krishna conscious things with. We will cross Maya with your devotees who have similar nature to us. We will not cross with the naked sages. What is the method? Crossing the darkness of Maya is easy by the light from your Sudarshan chakra in the form of remembering and glorifying your pastime. Shveli means joking with his gopi lovers. Sardartha Darshani 11:6-49. Right. Yeah, so then Sudarshana is that effulgence of his glories and all that is the Brahman, but then you have that personified aspect of that, those glories, and then that's Sudarshana. Right? So that's why when you see the chakra, then you remember Krishna. Yeah? No? So we see here, so you say that great devotees do not seek to cross Maya. They just want to be absorbed in Krishna. They don't care where they are. Because they're absorbed in Krishna, they just want to continue that absorption. But Uddhava, in his humility, is taking the position that, we're not so great. So therefore, we have to cross Maya, but how will we do that? By the same process, being absorbed in Krishna. So you want to give up the identification and attachment and involvement in the material platform, because that distracts us from Krishna. So that's why we're interested to give it up. But the point is, once you see everything connected to Krishna, then it's naturally and automatically given up. Yes? Okay. The Lord spoke thus. Riti. Next, it is pointed out that without bhakti, all the Vedic knowledge and the impersonal knowledge of Brahman is useless. Hence, jnana is perfect only by having bhakti in it, right? So before we establish that karma doesn't have any value unless bhakti is in it. And so now we're going to show how jnana doesn't have any value if bhakti is not within it. Does that make sense? Anucheta 67. Later it is stated that impersonal jnana is difficult to perfect, and bhakti is easy to perfect, and produces jnana as a byproduct and the purushartha, prema, as its main result. Right? So, therefore then, since, you know, why follow the path of jnana? Because it's very difficult, and it won't give you the purushartha of prema, it can only give you the purushartha of Brahman. Right? So then, but bhakti then can give you the purushartha of prema, and as a side effect, a secondary effect, it produces jnana as a byproduct. Does that make sense? So therefore, then that's why Uddhava is not very interested in that process, because, you know, it's not necessary. It's already contained in the other. So you don't have to separately endeavor. It's already contained within bhakti. First, jnana yoga is described, Jiva Goswami. A liberated sage should not act, speak, or contemplate in terms of material good or bad. Rather, taking pleasure in the self, he should wander about with his indifferent nature, appearing like a retarded person. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:11:17. But so, you know, how do you say, material good and bad. So we say is we're giving up good and bad. That means the material. Good means it's Krishna conscious. Bad means it's not Krishna conscious. So if it's not Krishna, we just reject. We don't absorb ourselves or spend our time there. We don't worry about those things. You know, like you sometimes see someone gets, you know, it becomes very serious religiously. I don't know about in I think it's there everywhere to some degree, but it's very much kind of a trope in the Christianity that somebody's very serious about Christianity, and they go around and pointing out how everybody else is not serious and how everyone's going to hell, like that. They point, but they're always pointing out this is wrong. So rather than inspiring people in why they should be religious and what's the benefits of that and what's the glory of that and the taste in that, they're always just thinking by pointing out what's wrong, people will be inspired to that, because I've chosen to do what's right. Therefore, if you point out to me what's wrong, I'll give it up and do what's right. But the common person, they're choosing whatever works for them. So if you say this is right, this is wrong, what's the context for them? Why is it right? Why is it wrong? If they like it, it's right. And if they don't like it, it's wrong. So therefore, you have to show how right means, you know, you get benefit, and wrong means you don't get benefit. But then you have to show what is the benefit, that you have to make it interested in the religious and spiritual benefits. So then it has some meaning. You understand? So therefore, the focus on the material right and wrong, that's not actually so important for the devotees. So that's why this modern political correctness doesn't really have much value for devotees, other than diplomacy when you actually deal with people, that you have to be careful what words you choose. But that's also just part of logic, that drishtanta, you have to be able to use words and tone and that they can relate to, so that they actually understand what you're talking about. So it's just naturally part of the logical process. but to separate it from the logical process and give it a life of its own. So it's separated from Krishna consciousness. It's separated from logic. And now it doesn't need devotion and it doesn't need logic. And you see that that's the platform of political correctness. People can say stuff totally illogical. And if you don't agree with it, you're told that you're wrong. But where's the basis? Where's everything? It's a mood. It's a feeling. And so it's been separated from logic and separated from bhakti. So then it doesn't have any real value at all. That may get the bile moving and it gives you something to get inspired about, since we may not be so inspired by bhakti or by, looking at things intellectually. So then we just want to feel emotions all the time and all that. But then why claim that that itself is directly devotional service? We're looking for a particular experience. And so then, work in those areas where those experiences are available, like family and community. That's what it's for. Right. But then the problem is through the political correctness, we actually destroy family and community. And then we end up with nothing. So we don't experience it. So you see the people who are the most most political correct many times have the weakest positions of family and community and friends. But it gives them something to do. It gives them, they're inspired. Right. So here then we're trying to go beyond that, right? Is that it's what is good for pleasing Krishna and what's not good for pleasing Krishna. That's the basis of what is to be considered pious and impious, or right and wrong, or good and bad. Yes? No? Yeah. Then Jiva Goswami continues, then bhakti yoga is described as a necessary element in it. Shabda Brahmani Nishnato na nishnayat pare yadi shramas chatasya shrama phalo yadenum iva rakshataha. If one is skillful in knowing Vedic scriptures and Brahman, but not skillful in devotion to the Supreme Lord, the result of one's effort is nullified. He is like a person who, desiring milk, maintains a cow which does not bear calves. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:11-18. Yeah, so being skillful in knowledge and scriptures and being like scholastic in that way, but not being skillful to see how that is, how that's connected with devotional service and all that, then that doesn't give any fruit. So that's why we have to be very, very careful, is that scholasticism only has its value in as much as it points out Krishna consciousness. On its own, it's not of value. Say, oh, if I'm a scholar, then, I can use this. But yes, if you were a scholar before, then do it. Or if the opportunity is there, you take it. But don't go out of your way and give up a nice, a life of service to just do scholastic pursuits, because then it will give you some social status. But then it only has social status in very certain circles. Most people don't really care. Does that make sense? Most people don't care like that. I mean, I remember so many of the people that I grew up as a kid that were family friends, and that they were all PhDs at the university, or something. Either they got or they taught or they something. But that wasn't the basis of your interaction. You just are interacted because they, as an individual, and you, as an individual, they were friends. Does that make sense? So how much do people care, unless it's a formal environment? And we all know that even you have an academic degree, that still you cannot preach Krishna consciousness in a academic circle. You can preach to an individual, but you can't officially preach in the academic circle, because it's outlawed. It's not allowed. So it what's the benefit? What's the point? Oh, the karmis will care, as if they're going to know. You're walking out on the street just handing out business cards showing that you're a PhD, and then they go, whoa, wow, yeah, hey, can I get your number? Like this? No. So the whole point is we use whatever we have in Krishna's service. We have something, we use it. If it's going to be useful, then we get it. But just that it, oh, it's prestigious, therefore it'll be good. No. It has to have some direct, what you can see, some use in Krishna consciousness. Then you can do. And if it does, then great. Use it. Especially if one has the nature. If one doesn't have the nature, then don't waste your time. Right? So here's that people become, you know, great scholars in Sanskrit and this and that, but then they don't translate for Krishna. Or they don't use it for preaching. You know? So like that, one should know is that these things aren't so important. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He should perform bhakti, thinking of the Lord with an eternal form of knowledge and bliss. Doing this, the liberated person reaches perfection, right? Thinking of the Lord with an eternal form of knowledge and bliss. Otherwise, so much of the time, scholars think of the Lord as just the purest form of the mode of goodness, but they don't think he has an eternal form. They just think of him as Brahman. He may be a supreme Brahman, but his form is temporary. Right? Otherwise, he falls, right? If he doesn't think of the Lord's eternal form, then, and he comes to liberated platform, he will fall. If he is expert in knowledge of the Vedic scriptures and the impersonal Brahman, which are praised in the scriptures, but does not become expert in bhakti of the Supreme Lord, Pare, who is superior to the scriptures and Brahman, his efforts are useless, right? So to know the scriptures and know Brahman, but you don't know the Lord, then what's the point, right? The word nishnata means skillful. Skillfulness in relation to the Lord is thinking of the Lord with bhakti, right? So if you can always think of your Lord, the Lord in a devotional attitude, that's real skill. That's what Prabhupada said, we're professional spiritualists. That's the skill we're trying to develop. These other skills, if they can be used as secondary, but they're not as important as being, if you're a professional and spiritual and you have these other things, they become ornaments. But if you don't have that skill in this, the spiritual, then these other things, then they become galagraha, these weights around the neck that just take you down into the material, ocean. So that should be seen. Like someone knows music nicely, he's using it for Krishna, it becomes an ornament. But if he's just great at music and not at devotional service, then he will be distracted by that music. Without bhakti, the results of his efforts in sadhana are useless. His efforts do not result in the highest goal, just that it is not beneficial to maintain a cow which has not given birth for a long time, for one who desires milk. Sardartha Darshani 11.11.18. Right, so he points out one who desires milk. You know, it means another thing, you maintain cows whatever state they're in, and that's then, your service to the cows. Like that. But if you desire milk, then you have to have, then there must be calves. So his efforts won't give you the highest goal. His sadhana is useless. It doesn't mean that his sadhana won't bring him knowledge or understanding of Brahman, but it won't give him bhakti. So it's useless because he will fall from that position. We have to understand when samsara is there, it's a circle. So that means at the top of the circle, that's where all the scholars, demigods, those members of Satya Loka, the Siddha, all these people are. And then at the bottom, then that's, everything else, all the animals and lower end, like this. So since it goes around, that means, we're constantly becoming demigods, sages, and that, and then ending up as, animals and other entities that are not interested in anything of higher consciousness. Yes? No? Yeah, so one has to redefine the value system that if it's useful in Krishna consciousness, then it becomes a value. And if it's not, then it's not used. And other things, unless they are engaged in Krishna consciousness, they don't become a value. Yes, please.
Guru Maharaj, it's a question about Gyani. Once Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj, you mentioned now one Christian priest, and I remember that once Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj said that Christianity mostly based on the practice of jnana, and he also and he said that the saints could achieve the level of impersonal light. And in this, and once I was asked also, can we say that those Christian saints who were very austere monks and who got this light of favor, which Jesus Christ got in the time of transformation, can we say that they were on the level of, they got level of Vijnanamoy, or it will be wrong?
Means they may be functioning at that point, but whether they'll actually get liberated is another thing, you know, because if they're that austere and this and that, then, you know, they'll move up. Because we have to remember is that we're the only ones where you have one lifetime and you get a full effect. For them, if you're on the path of Jnana, you're talking about thousands and thousands of lifetimes. It mentions that for those, I think it's in Brahma Samhita, that for the yogis who are drilling the respiration, you're doing pranayama and all that, that even in millions of lifetimes, they can't see the effulgence of the toenails of Krishna. So the path of samskara is very slow. So you're in karma, you're there millions of lifetimes, and you go into jnana, you may be there also for, you know, thousands or, you know, hundreds of thousands, but then eventually, then, you know, because one falls on the position, it comes back down around and it just goes. So it's not that in this one life, then they go to Brahman and then they're there and, you know, and Gopu Kumar is going by, you know, and Mahakalapura goes, oh, hey, a Christian made it. You know? No, they get that. And then if it's there, they may take their life, you know, in a birth and a family that it'll be favorable to move farther forward. Because they have some interest in God, they have this and that, but what do they know about God? You know, yes, God's a person, we have to love God and this and that. So what's his form? Where does he live? Oh, he's impersonally, he doesn't have a form and he doesn't live, he lives everywhere. So that's ultimately that aspect. So that's why Maharaj will say it's jnana. But you see, most practitioners, I would say your bulk, it's just sentiment, it's just karma. They just do nice, they do good, they go to heaven. He was a nice person, he went to heaven, you know. And only some of them are more austere like that. And some of them also talk about developing love for God and all that, but they're not very much focused on the personal form. A few of them kind of are, but they have no idea what that form is. There's a sentiment to that. So then if that's there, they'll come in contact with those that can take them farther. So in other words, as a stepping stone, it's there. It means, you know, you have Jesus going and preaching in that area of the world, and it's to bring them up from that platform, but ultimately you will have to get to Krishna consciousness. You have to remember he's a personified Veda. He's from Brahma Loka, right? So he being a personified Veda, he knows what the conclusion of the Veda, he knows all that, but he's dealing with a group of persons where they're not able to do so much. And so then, you know, being before the full manifestation of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, is that you're bringing him forward. But then now Lord Chaitanya's here, now you can take that. So if they have that sincerity, they'll come in contact either in this life and get some benefit or, you know, in the next life. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Guru Maharaj, thank you very much. And one little question here also. In one apocrypha, it was written, in Christian apocrypha, it was written, they have seven levels of heavens, which are very similar to our seven higher planets. And it was written there that Jesus Christ, he came from the highest seventh planet, and where God lived with his son. And Jesus Christ was sent from this planet. And they also, in this apocrypha, it also was written that those Christians who very sincerely follow to Jesus Christ, they can attain this planet. My question is, they can attain this planet directly by following Jesus Christ, or firstly, they need to come in contact with devotees in Vedic tradition, and then they can go to the Satyaloka.
Well, the point is there's a path to get there. So let's see if they're absorbed, maybe like that. But the point is you have to go through the stages to get there. You know what I'm saying? In other words, they're giving something, you're going and giving something to the kids. You're telling them, okay, you do this and that. You take prasad, you do a little this and that, and they're doing something. But that brings them through association. They get more and more mature and go deeper and deeper. But we have to be very careful that no, only what you're giving the kids, that's all you need. Everything else is not necessary. We just have to do what the kids are doing and all that. No. You have the capacity for what you should do. You should understand more. Go farther. So we have to understand is that these have their value in as much as they bring you closer to God. That's as much as we get into. But all this mechanistic aspect of will that exactly take you in this and that, that's not what we're talking about. The point is how much are they thinking? At the time of death, they remember Jesus, do they? But what do they remember? What are they remembering? Do we hear anything about that? Is there a description of Jesus, what he looks like?
They have different descriptions.
Yes, depending upon whether they're European or whether they're, whether they're Ashkenazis or whether they're Sephardis. In other words, Jesus being from that local area most likely had the features more like the local people, but at the same time, coming from Satyaloka, he probably had a much fairer complexion, but he wouldn't have been the complexion of the Europeans. You know, he would have had he would have looked more Indian. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the Middle East, the attractive features there are closer to the Indian standard of beauty. You know what I'm saying? So exactly what he looks like and this and that, like you see what he looks like in the shroud, you know, is not exactly how they always paint him in the European pictures. But the point is they remember him and they're taking that this is him. They're going to get benefit. Just know that they're going to get benefit. But exactly where they happen, what happens? What happened when devotees asked Prabhupada, okay, this devotee left his body. Where did he go? What does Prabhupada say? Right? He says that if they remember Krishna, they go to Krishna. And if not, then, you know, by some arrangement, if they're more advanced, they may take appear in the family of devotees. If not, they'll go to the heavenly planets. Then after some time, then come back and then appear in, you know, good, nice families and rich families and things like that. So he just talks on the principle. The mechanics we can't get into because the thing is no, but unless I know exactly that he went to Brahmaloka and this and that, then how can I have faith in this? Is that we have faith in every other nonsense there is in the universe without knowing the mechanics of it. Yes.
Probably it's just a speculation, but while hearing this discussion, and in certain circles, this discussion always, you know, comes up because people are interested and devotees from those backgrounds. So the scientific process, which was given by Srila Rupa Goswami, describes step by step how jiva develops from shraddha to prema, but then seems to be in other traditions, it's a matter of when you complete one stage, then the next stage is revealed. So we can go on and speak, unless there's a description, which I never heard about, how the development of the jiva happens in other traditions. But then it seems like at the end of one stage, there's a revelation of the next stage, and like this, then there's a progress. But how exactly it happens, we can't be sure because there's no description as far as I know.
Yeah, it means you're going to have that and you're going to have the different devotees having their realizations and all that.
One description of what?
What is it, Mataji?
No, in Christianity, I found the one description about this progress, a seven stages of the soul. And
yes, but my point is are they doing it? Because just that you're austere, unless you're, it means who goes to Brahmaloka? Yogis can go. Those who worship Hiranyagarbha can go. Right? These are the two groups that go. You know, it doesn't say that there's someone else going. So the point is that you have these, they may have seven levels and all that, but is that, you know, that somebody realized that, but then how is that applied? How is that practiced? What's the sadhana for it? So the main point is we have to remember Krishna's in the heart. And because Krishna's in the heart, therefore he can understand your consciousness. And then if you are interested in something higher, you really sincerely want to, Krishna will put you in contact with those who can take you higher. And so whether that happens in this life or next life, it doesn't matter, because it's going to, devotional service may take many lifetimes. So that's why once come to the point of Shraddha, then that's very, very good. Because you see, there they have a Shraddha, they have faith in Jesus, but they have very much faith in all their piety and everything else and being a good person and all these other things. So it's not very developed. And they had that. What about God? What's your relationship? And well, Jesus is God, but he represents God, but he's not God. You know, so how far can it take him? It'll take him to a certain degree. And so in that way, it's good. It's good for them to do like that and good for them to follow that. But if they come in contact with something more, they want to, and they can take it up, then why wouldn't they? So the point is, it's not that, oh, this is good, that's good, it's all good, and, you know, anything other than what I'm supposed to do. If they had that much interest in discussing, you know, what Rupa Goswami is describing, they'd probably get more devotional benefit. Because the point is even they discuss these, what these Christian saints are doing. Namely, name me one, just one devotee on the planet who is going to do that. Right? You have Christians down, I think, in that, where is that island, you know, off of Greece and all that. They go up, they go up into the, you know, in some of these places, there's caves up the cliff. They go up there and they live up there. They never come out. They never see anybody. Somebody regularly comes by from the monastery and there's this little dumbwaiter thingy that can lift things up for them, and it goes up and they take off. They have some food and all this and that, you know, and all that. But at the same time, as you know, says who's going to do that? We don't have one person who's going to follow any of these saints. Anybody is as absorbed as Mother Teresa. Anybody is as absorbed as, you know, our friend, where was that? The guy who wants to fly like a bird, you know.
Saint Francis?
Yeah, Saint Francis, you know, like that. You know, his church gets to, he moves into a church that's fallen apart. You know, gives up his, you know, girlfriend, everything, moves in there, does something, you know, goes to the Pope, argues with the Pope, you know, establishes, the Pope comes, offers obeisances to St. Francis. You know what I'm saying? They talk about it as if it's something. Oh, yeah, no, it's that. So therefore we don't have to get into Krishna. The discussion is how we don't have to get into Krishna consciousness, not how we're going to get serious about our devotional life. So we have to be very careful. These discussions are for people who haven't developed faith. Then you can show. It means wherever you are, yeah, start there. It means, and they're on that platform. They do that, but you're not. You've come to the point, you've surrendered to Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara headed by Rupa Goswami. That's what we follow. That's our path. You want to do these other paths? That's because you can't focus. You know, and if we talk about that, they'll get into this. Are they comfortable, you know, the ones that are into the Christianity, are they comfortable discussing the Muslim background? You know, or, you know, Tibetan Buddhism? Possibly not. You know, like that. So it's just a thing in their thing is, oh, I don't have to be so serious about Krishna consciousness because just living the lifestyle I did before as a Christian. But what is the Christian, as we said, what's the Christian lifestyle? At least the saints kind of had a regulated lifestyle. So we have to be very careful here that it's not just being used as an excuse to distract our attention. Because the point is, once you've come in contact, why would you do that? Just like, let's say you're on sixth grade mathematics, What's the use to you of first grade book or kindergarten book or third grade book? Oh, no, I don't have to study the sixth grade book. I can just study the third grade book and I'll get the same results. Will you? Because even if they're saying there's seven levels there, but what's the sadhana for that seventh level? And that only takes you to Brahmaloka. You know, now those who do go there and have that point of worshiping Hiranyagarbha and that, then they go with Brahma when he leaves. Yogis will go there, and then if they continue, they can go themselves, you know. But for those who are Hiranyagarbhis, they have to wait until you go. But then you have to come on that platform. So yes, what they have to do to get there. But then they'll be there until the end of the creation, Brahma's life. Then they can go with him to back to Vishnu. Now, if they develop that love for the Vishnu, then they can continue further. But if not, then they'll come back again. So it's all up to what is your focus. It's all of what is your intent. It's not that, oh, you just did this or just did that. You know, these are helpful, but it's not the real thing, right? It's just like you have a pan, you can stir it with the spoon. I've seen people, they can stir things in a pan without using a spoon at all. They just grab the handle and flip it with their wrist, and the stuff turns very nicely. You know, so the cooking is the real thing, not all the other things. These other things are useful in as much as they help. So these secondary things are useful in as much as they're valuable to help in Krishna consciousness. But all this other things, it's just distraction, because it's not, I can't take that it's overly sincere direction, because at the same time, they're getting the Tantra, they're getting to this and to that, all these other Vedic things, getting to other sampradayas. It's just, where's the chastity? Where's the focus? And so therefore, if there's no focus, there's no endeavor. That's what Krishna says in the Gita. Is that your mind is all over the place, then you do nothing. Your mind's fixed on one place, you do something. So that's the point, is that do they really want Krishna? Do they want to go back to Godhead this lifetime? Are they looking for excuses to slow down so they can, what is it, you know, like that 60s song, slow down, you're moving too fast. You know, try to make the morning last, you know. You know, that's the way the hippies are. Does that make sense?
Yes, Guru Maharaj. I ask just because I usually give lectures to people of other religions and to interface
dialogue. Other religions, then you inspire them. But if they're devotees and they're getting into this kind of stuff and it's you know, kind of getting distracted, then you have to be careful. No, we have our own line. But if it's others who are from these other traditions, then yes, you be inspired. It has to go up. But you have to understand is that the real thing is developing love for God. That's the key element. Not these other mechanics, because you see, some are austere, some are not. Some are just simple, you know, in their lifestyle. But some are very austere. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Okay, so then we'll end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.
Hare.